All right, we go to case 5, which is the United States versus James Scholes, appeal 06-3335. Mr. O'Malley.
Your Honors, may it please the Court, Counsel, good morning. This case arises out of a police response to a dispatch call of shots fired on April 18, 2005 in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Two issues are presented in this appeal: whether the district court erred when it determined that Scholes was not seized within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment when he stepped onto the porch of the Fairfield Street residence, and whether the district court erred when it determined that the pat-down frisk of Scholes was reasonable and wholly within the grounds of a Terry-type protective frisk. If it pleases the court, I would like to address the Terry issue first. A Terry stop has two phases, the first being the initial stop. The officer must have a reasonable suspicion, supported by articulable facts, that some criminal activity is afoot. The second phase is the frisk or pat-down phase. An officer must be able to support those actions with facts that the detainee is presently armed and presently a risk of harm to the officers. Scholes concedes that the officers had a right to approach the house and to question the occupants. After all, they were responding to a shots fired call that was within that block. However, not one officer stated a single fact that led him to believe that Scholes was armed or presented a danger to the officers. In fact, Officer Vachon, who frisked Scholes, testified he had no reason to believe Scholes was engaged in a criminal activity. When I asked him, did you have any reason at that point to believe that James Scholes was engaged in a criminal activity, he answered, apparently no. That was on page 44 of the transcript, or of the appendix.
The officers are investigating shots fired.
Yes, Your Honor.
And he is consistent with the physical description of the shooter. Right, in terms of what he's wearing. He's got the hat and the coat that match the...
In terms of, yes, as much as that physical description existed, Scholes matched it, Your Honor.
Right,
that is
so
correct.
That's enough, right? He fits the description and it's shots fired. That justifies a frisk under any reasonably objective
evaluation. Your Honor, if Your Honor would entertain the argument, the description was that it was a black male dressed in dark clothes.
I thought it was a little more specific than that, wearing a hat.
I think they said he was wearing a hat. You're
hat
correct, Your
and
Honor.
And dark
yes.
jacket.
It's also at 1 a.m., too.
Yes, Your Honor. And they approached the door of the house. And as Judge Lee noted in his decision, it is indisputable there was not probable cause as they came up to that porch to arrest anyone. There was no gunfire ringing out. There was no weapons on the ground. There was
that
no shells
matter.
Or
there's,
no order.
There's justification to do a Terry stop and frisk.
Yes, Your Honor.
The other two occupants of the house didn't fit the description, and your guy did.
But, Your Honor, the point is that at that point there would certainly be a Terry stop. I would say, yeah, that we can discuss this matter. But was there any indication that at that point Scholes was presently armed? Did he have, for example... The weapon that the caller said was used was a long gun. Scholes comes to the door empty-handed. He can't be concealing a long gun. Where would he put it?
Well, he's got the jacket on, right?
Well, yes, Your Honor. The other thing, though, is...
More than one gun, too.
There could be, Your Honor, but there was only a report of a long gun, and that's the only fact that we have. The other thing, though, that I think is key to the argument is Officer Scatina's response. Officer Scholes did not come to the door. Officer Scatina had never met Scholes, had never seen him at that point. In fact, one officer stated Scholes was apparently hiding in the kitchen. And yet, Officer Scatina knocks on the door and says to the occupants, come out of the house. We are going to pat you down for officer safety. So without ever having laid eyes on Scholes, Officer Scatina had determined it was an appropriate action to pat down everybody in the house.
That's,
and in fact, they did.
That's subjectively what's in the officer's mind, which is irrelevant.
But, Your Honor, what objectively was there since he hadn't seen
Scholes?
Shots
fired.
Yes, Your Honor.
Matches the description. It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Your Honor, but the match,
what more do you need than that?
Match the description had not occurred at that point because Officer Scatina nor Officer Vachon had ever laid eyes on Scholes.
That doesn't matter.
And
because you're looking at the officer's subjective intent. What matters is at the time the frisk was performed, were there facts off record that justify the frisk?
Well, are we saying that something, I guess, Your Honor, then that would be tantamount to saying that although the officers had made up their mind as they approached the house to search the occupants based upon shots fired call.
Nothing wrong with that.
And if that is the law, Your Honor, then Scholes would lose.
That is the law. It's an objective test. It's not a subjective test.
But does the objective test met by the anonymous call of shots fired then and 1 o'clock in the morning?
And that he fits the description of the shooter.
But Your Honor, that's
at
overlooking.
At the time that they did the frisk,
but that
they
was
knew
within
that.
Moments of Officer Scatina saying, we're going to frisk the occupants.
So what?
So that
if the frisk is justifiable at the time that it's performed.
And even the occupant who didn't match the description is then searched, too. Clearly, the officers had made up their mind they were going to search everybody.
That's okay.
Well, all right, Your Honor. I'll move on then to the second issue.
Good idea.
The district court ruled that Scholes was not seized when he stepped onto the porch and that when he was handcuffed by the three officers who had their weapons at the low ready position, and in fact he was handcuffed and was not allowed to leave the porch. He was not free to leave. That was unanimous among the officers. They all said, no, he was not allowed to leave. To rule that he was not seized, I think is incorrect. Even a Terry stop, let alone a Terry frisk, is a seizure of sorts. It's the duration of the seizure. So the question is that's presented on appeal was he arrested or not at that point? Was he under arrest or was he simply subjected to a Terry stop and frisk? If he was arrested, the court has determined that there wasn't probable cause to arrest anybody at that point. So when he came out, the question is when he comes out onto the porch, as the officers are standing there with their weapons drawn at the low ready position, and he is immediately turned around, frisked, and placed in handcuffs, is he under arrest, given the fact that he is not free to leave? Or is he subjected to a Terry stop? Now, the court said there was no seizure at all.
Isn't that consistent with this circuit's case law, that the use of handcuffs during a Terry stop doesn't transform the stop into an arrest?
Yes, Your Honor. That is this circuit's case law, that it doesn't necessarily transform it into an arrest, but given the district court's ruling that there was no seizure, I believe a Terry stop is a seizure. It's the question is, was it an arrest or was it a Terry stop? It's our position that it was an arrest because the officers agreed he wasn't free to leave. And they had their guns at the low ready position and he was handcuffed. Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Holler.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. The government submits that the district court properly denied the motion to suppress in this case. There was reasonable suspicion both to conduct a Terry stop and to frisk Mr. Scholes. I think the court has hit on most of the points that I was going to make. But
see, we did your job for you. So,
but I would just point to, I wanted to point to one or two things to clear up. First of all, when Officer Vachon states, apparently I didn't have cause to stop or to frisk this person, Mr. O'Malley's a very good defense lawyer at the trial level. And that's, if you look at the transcript, that's in the context of a whole bunch of leading questions about, well, you didn't know this about the anonymous caller, you didn't know this about the occupants, you didn't know this. And the officer is not a trained legal expert, and like many witnesses, at the end falls into what I think Mr. O'Malley had perhaps set to lay as a trap to try and make this kind of call. So good work on his part, but at the same time, I don't think that's relevant to the overall analysis. In the end, there was certainly reasonable suspicion to detain the occupants of the house. As has been cited in some cases in this court, this was not midnight in Lagos. There was one person who matched the description. There was a known caller who remains anonymous on this record, but who was identifiable, who had stated that a black male wearing a dark coat and a dark jacket had fired shots in the alley from a long gun and had then entered this particular house. There were two male occupants, and it appears there were three female occupants from the record, although only one who specifically went to the door is referenced. And only the male occupants were patted down. I think that was reasonable under the circumstances. The other male was wearing a light-colored sweater, could have removed his jacket, and Mr. Scholes was the one who most closely matched the description and was also the only one who, when he was asked to leave the residence, did not consent to do so. To the extent that the district court uses the word that there was no seizure, I believe if you look at page 10 of the order, he's talking about that really more in reference to, was the question, come out on the porch, did that seize all of the occupants? And it did not. But there's a big difference between a Terry stop and an arrest, and certainly in light of the cases that we've cited, and as you pointed out, handcuffing, if that's even what occurred, was permissible. And nothing here in this brief two-minute stop and need to frisk the defendant down would lead anyone to believe that there was no basis for doing that. We cited the case of United States versus Brown, where there was an erratic drunk driver, and this court found that there was reason to believe that that person might be armed and dangerous. Here, there's a report of shots fired. Yes, it is from a long gun, but as you pointed out, Judge Evans, he could have more than one gun on him. Officer Vachon himself stated, when I was patting him down, all I remembered was the most important part of the call, that it was shots fired. Under those circumstances, I think it certainly was reasonable for all of these officers to take the actions that they did. So if the court has no questions, I would ask that the judgment of the district court and the defendant's conviction please be affirmed. Thank you.
Mr. O'Malley, anything more?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you. The case is taken under advisement. And, Mr. O'Malley, thank you for accepting the appointment here.